That doesn't get you excited, nothing will. Amen. She's such an important thing in our church. If you need help, if you need a word from God, if you want to be exhilarated when you walk out, go see Miss Dixie. Special, special person that God has touched and is anointed. I'm excited because before church I got to go down by the lake and pray. Something about being by the water, you know, it just blesses you. And I'm excited because, yes, God is moving. We might not see it. We might see only Palestinians, groups taking over schools and stuff like that, or somebody trying to say another bad thing about Donald Trump, or another lawsuit's filed. But in the life, in real life, God is moving. And I hope today to encourage you to be excited or be passionate about the move of God that's going on in our country and our world right now. And I will give you some examples. First, I couldn't start without saying thank you to Roddy and the message he brought last week. That's a tough one to follow, but I got to tell you, it was what needed to be said. And Roddy, I know you'll listen after you get out of church with your parents. We thank you, and we're honored to have you as part of our church. Also, the things that just keep happening, I just have to keep adding to it. Another one today. God gave me this word a year or so ago. He said, wake up, God is moving. That people need to know that. He actually also led me to decide to make t-shirts that say, wake up on one side and God is moving on the back. Which I so arrogantly put off and did nothing about till this week. We're moving with that. And so, I'm thankful. I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes it can get overwhelming. And this week someone came to me and needed help, and of course I said yes. But I said, and it was a tough week, a lot going on, and banks and stuff, and trying to get different deals going. And I said, Lord, when is enough enough? And he shot back quickly. He says, enough is never enough. There's always someone needs help. And I politely said, forgive me, Lord. Because if he was never going to give us more than we can handle, he's always going to be there for us. So today I'm saying, wake up, church. God is moving. There's a movement going on now that we've never seen before. Never. And let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it's happening right before our eyes. And what I want us to do is be part of it. Be part of it. During the very first week of COVID, the Lord gave me a dream. Old men shall dream dreams, right? Oh, I qualify for that. I don't remember dreams. I had dreams and I dream, I know, but I just forget them, right? So it was so strong and so vivid that when I got out, I wrote down what the Lord had shown me. And in my history, I've spent a lot of time in factories, going through factories, reviewing track factories, seeing how they make things, seeing if they could be effective in our businesses and that we could use them, et cetera. And I've seen all types of things. One that I was reminded of was a furniture factory in the Jack Daniels factory that they had these big vats. You know, you walk up the catwalk and you see big vats. They got all these materials swirling around in it and swirling around and swirling around. And they're making liquids or whatever they're made, all different types of things. And I saw that. I'm standing on the catwalk and I'm looking down. There's five vats. And I'm not going into all of this because it'd take a week. But coming down, I see churches. I see people. I see instruments. I know what are Christians. And they're going down this conveyor belt and I'm dropping them off of this vat. And I look at this vat, and this is 3 days into COVID. I look at this vat and it's churning. And the more we put Christianity into it, the darker it got. And the harder it was for that turbine to turn that thing. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on? He said, that's my church. He says, we're clogging it up with things that don't matter. He says, the real thing, the most important thing is not being shared or carried to the world. And so another thing he said, we're killing the church with labels. You're this, you're that, you're this. Don't look at them. They might do this instead of Jesus is Lord. So little by little, this thing stops. That's turning it. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I prayed. I said, Lord, start it again. Start it again. And it took a while, but little by little, that thing started churning and churning. And they kept putting more liquid into it. And all of a sudden, that thing started turning colors, getting brighter. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, that's the Holy Spirit. And before long, after a good while, before long, that liquid turned to a nice, creamy vanilla milkshake. It was beautiful, except it had some spots in it. And these spots started being spit out. They were like black little globs in there. And it just got spit out and spit out and spit out. I said, Lord, what is that? And he says, that's those that don't believe. And then I started seeing people coming over the side of that vat, jumping down to the side and gathering in groups, 5, 4, 10, 20, and they're all coming out and they're holding arms. They're praising the Lord. And you've never seen a group of people so absolutely turned on to something than those people that coming out of that vat. You put the church together, you put in a mixture of the Holy Spirit, you churn it up real good, and guess what? You got something amazing. And that's the way it was. And he said, the church will never be the same. It's going to be a different church than we're used to. And then he said, the church is you, and the church is you, and the church is you. We're the church. It's not this building. It's not some denomination. It is us. We are the church. So during all this time, we started having something called Zoom meetings. They wouldn't let us meet, right? So we started Zoom meetings. And for all you out there today, God bless you. We appreciate you. If it's one or if it's 100. And what Satan meant to kill the church, God used it to enhance the church. So we started a little meeting with 6 couples from Indiana who had been part of a group for many years with my wife's brother. He was our spiritual father, and since he had died, they just kind of spread out. They needed something. I didn't know what it was until 2 or 3 weeks later he finally showed me. This summer will mark 4 years of every Wednesday night of the year. We get together. We praise. We start every night, every week with a testimony or testimonies. If you got a testimony, we'll run the whole thing with testimonies. Then we add some praise music and then whatever teaching or just leaning on the Holy Spirit to do something. it's amazing the amount of love that's in that group. Well, all of a sudden, this thing started growing. We never reached out to anybody to ask them to come. But this is what God's doing, right? Now we go from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. And everywhere in between, we'll have 16 or 18 on a weekly basis. And people are blessed. But I got to tell you a couple of stories. Number one was somehow the ex-wife, her husband passed away. He was the president of Full Gospel Businessmen's International. Got into our group. Somebody said something to somebody, and she got in our group. And the stories and the testimonies and the miracles that happened through that organization are incredible. And now they're being carried on and talked about again. And then we have a black preacher, pastor in Philadelphia. And he's had a tough time, two strokes and stuff, but he's part of our group. And he loves the love that's part of it. And then one day we have a camp up in Indiana. It's 74 acres right in the middle of a stream, right in the middle of it, and beautiful. There's nobody even close to you. And one day, and so basically it's just people that love the Lord, know the Lord. They'll go there. We just pray. We sing. We have a great time together. It's just to magnify the Lord. This is the Lord here. And one day we had a campfire going last fall. And this 40-year-old woman drives up in a four-wheeler with a whole trailer full of wood on it. She said, "Hey, what are y'all doing?" And we said, "We're just praying and seeking the Lord." And she said, "Would you like some wood?" "Well, yeah, we'd like some wood." So happened they live next door. You can't see the house. It's probably 40 acres away, right? And she says, "Can I come over and join you?" She came over and joined us. And all of a sudden we find out this lady's on fire for God. She's 40 years old, never been married. She got out of college. She was Catholic. She went to Purdue University. And when she got out, the Holy Spirit told her, "You're a missionary. You go where I tell you to go." She spent the last 16 years going where God tells her to go. You know who she has a heart for? The Muslims. She spends time over there every year, at least three times a year. So to make this story a lot shorter, she was going over in March to Iraq, and they cut the flights off. They wouldn't let her in. So she went up to Mexico. She's going somewhere. And then she told us a story about last fall. She went to Jordan. Now, you can't go to Jordan if they know what you're doing. You can't go there and preach the gospel, but she's doing it, and others are doing it. The Muslims are the fastest growing converts to Christianity in the world. And as she said, there's 3.2 million people in Gaza. And she said, out of that, maybe 100,000 are extremists. She said, the other 3 million need saving. What are we going to do about that? Changed my attitude a little bit. Well, we're going to bomb them, blow them off the face of the earth. No, not until they hear about Jesus. Got a job to do. So she went to Jordan. She had a pastor there that she was working with, and they were on the street one day. They saw somebody he knew, and he said, "Would you come to dinner tonight?" He said, "Sure." And then she thought, "Man, I don't even know this person." He said, "My wife and I'd like to cook for you." And so she went to dinner that night, and he told her that, said, "We have a little meeting in our basement every Wednesday night. This week it's women." And she said, "Okay, would you say something to them?" "I'll be glad to say something to them." So she went to the meeting. They cooked for them, the most gracious peaceful people you could ever be around. They shared love to her. And then they went downstairs. And 13 Muslim women came to that meeting downstairs in that basement. And they shared for 2 hours on the difficulties it was in their life, how terrible they were treated, how there was no love, there's no affection. It's just they were there to be the boss and for them to boss them around, to have sex with them, they cook for them, and the insults and everything that they took were amazing. Now, she's getting this through an interpreter. And over the time, over that 2 hours, it wound up, as she's called it, a cry fest. People would testify and cry. And by the end of the 13th person, it was her turn to speak. And she had something to say, and she said, and she's crying because she saw the hurt and the pain and anguish in their heart. And she said, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. She said, because all I know is whatever pain you have, whatever situation is in your life that is so terrible, the lack of peace in your life and your ability to even enjoy living can be all changed with one person, and that's Jesus. That peace that you're looking for is right here in front of you. 13 Muslim women converted to Christ that night. God is moving. There's millions of stories like this. You saw Ashbury, right? How exciting. That thing has moved around and around and campuses across the country, but also churches and communities. It is, by the way, the third time that they've had an outbreak of the Holy Spirit in Ashbury. My wife and I were results of the second one. What I'm seeing is, if you look into pro sports today and you hear these interviews, men who usually don't do anything but give you the F word and the GD word and all this other stuff, men are confessing Christ. I see it every week, every couple of days. Well, Jesus Christ. We didn't hear that before. It's coming. I saw that the rookie of the year in NFL, who plays for Houston Texans, they asked him about his success, and he quoted scripture to him. And when they ran it again, they cut the scripture out. You're not going to hear it, but God hears it. And we know what's happening. Michigan coach, former coach, Jim Harbaugh, he made a statement. They asked him, what's the difference between this year when you won the national championship and last year when you didn't? He said, well, we had revival on our campus. He said, we had 70 ball players accept Christ and were baptized. We were such a one together, we couldn't be beaten. And he had a player there too. And he said, well, it was a lot more than that, coach. But think about that. Even coming out and saying that, you're not going to hear it. I saw it once, so I believe it to be true. Back in the fall, Auburn University, they had something going on at the gym, and they had like 20,000 people there, 15 to 20, I don't know how many it holds. It was full. It's headed up by the coaches of all the teams and talked about going to lift up America. Well, what happened is they lifted up Jesus. And before the night was over, these people are in exalted praise, praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, they started giving their life to the Lord. And they went outside and baptized over 110 people in the pond that's in the middle of campus in the fall. And one of the leaders of it, one of the coaches, is Bruce Pearl, who's Jewish. God is moving. It happened at Auburn. It happened at Texas A&M the very next week. And they had a stream. They baptized them in. It happened to Ole Miss. And last, I don't know if anybody saw the videos of this. A week ago, Liberty University, they showed every night thousands and thousands of people outside praising the Lord, giving their life to Christ, and they were baptizing them in what they called redneck hot tubs. Anybody know what that is? Pickup trucks with a liner in it. They'd throw them in the truck, baptize them, and get the next one. And again, over 100 people. And I'm getting all this ready, and then I look on Friday. Tim showed it to me this morning. UT had over 8,000 people. They camped out the night before to get in. In the same, they were baptizing people in the Tennessee River. Folks, God is moving. Can we get excited about God moving? He is moving. Week after week, God is moving in people's lives, getting saved, baptized, set free, and you never hear about it. But it's okay. God hears about it. And we're going to shout it from a rooftop. God is on the move. I'm going to hear the song. God is on the move. God is on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move. On the move today. We are part of that. We don't have to be just looking in at it. I'm telling you, and I've said it before, when you hit 60, you're just getting ready to get into your prime zone. Because you get a little smarter maybe, but guess what? You're able to share that with others. And you don't have the fear or anything. They're not going to fire you because you're not working. But, yeah, some of us are. But you're not going to fire yourself. So there's something about moving forward with God. There's things that we need to do, and you know all about them. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Too long, we allowed the only source of our hearing, the Word, just to be a pastor. That's all right, I heard it at church. That's a lie from hell. You need to take time daily. That is our bread. That's where we get our strength. That's our protection and our weapon. The Word of God. We need to know it better, even if you are 60. We need to pray more. Need to pray in the Spirit more. We need to be on fire to God, with God, each and every day. It is so important. He said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you'll move a mountain. It works. I've seen it work way too often. Don't doubt. We need to get on fire for God. We need to be passionate. You know, we can get real passionate about our football teams, can't we? You need to set example for your family, your loved ones, and even those you don't know. Be on fire for God. I always say, get here when the praise team starts. Be here, be prayed up, and be ready to praise. Just to sit and sing and go like this. Guess what? When you get before the throne of God, it ain't going to be that way. It's going to be different. Guess what? You're standing before God right here. Or right here, you're standing before God. Get on fire for God. Help others wherever you go and wherever you are. I had a situation once where I had a chance to help someone. God told me to give them $97 to people from another country that didn't speak English. And I said, Lord, I'm in San Francisco for like 5 days. I only got like $130. I can't give them $97. And make a long story short, I said, no. So we went over the next 4 days. I came back. I got home, put my billfold up on the counter. I looked at it. You know how much money was in there? $97. The next time I was on a plane and he told me to give money to somebody, she was I was coming out of Houston on Christmas Eve Eve, and she was going home, and I had this book with me called Enjoying God, and she wanted to know about the book. And she got up late, and the Lord said, give her that book and give her some money. He didn't say how much. So I looked at my billfold. You know what I had? Nope, not $97. I had a $100 bill. That's all I had. Do you know what? God got it. We need to be able to touch people's life and help them. But most importantly, of all the things, we need to develop relationships with others. 2 Timothy says, what you have heard me say in front of many people, you must teach to faithful men who then in return will teach others also. Sonship, sistership, we need to be creating those people within our church. You want your church to grow? Start mentoring people. Start turning people into little Jesuses. You'll see a change. It's the most important thing, I think, that we have to do in our church. It's not sit to ourselves, but to help others. There's people here that are doing a lot of that. Risa has a special study group that would bless all of you if you knew about it. Risa and Lisa come here on Thursdays and pray over this place. Anoint it with oil. There's things going on. The Wednesday night group, the Thursday night group, the Monday night group. Everywhere you look, we're doing it. But we need to help. We need to move it forward. It's important. We need to spend more time in exalted praise. You know, it's one thing to sing a song, but exalted praise, you look at these young people, they're exalting God in their praise. We need to do the same thing. Every day, I got a little sanctuary in my basement, which is my office, and every morning I turn the music up and listen, most mornings. Don't lie. But you know what? It sets the whole tone for every day that I live. Because I hear the word and it's fed into me instead of something, some garbage that's on TV or the radio. I'm honored to even be here today. We need to be prepared to step up. This is kind of a sequel to Roddy last week. He gave us the tools to do it. And guess what? We will be victorious. I got a couple of scriptures to add to it at the end here. The first one Miss Francis gave to me this morning, which is great. He said, cast all, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You know, we prayed this morning for certain people. My prayer is those people grab a hold of that for sure. And then we go over to Isaiah 40. You know, we kind of make a living in Isaiah, don't we? Okay. Verse 28. Excuse me, my fingers are fat and slow. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint, nor does he grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who might be increased, he increases their strength. To he has no might, he increases their strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But when those who wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings on eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let those sink into your mind a little bit in your heart. God has plans for you, plans to prosper you, to give you strength in all that you do. And finally, very close to Miss Dixie's heart, we're going to Psalm what, everybody? No, 92. They know you. I got to tell you, Miss Dixie had a long day yesterday. And the fact that she's here today is amazing. I thank you. She's faithful. Faithful. So Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises on his name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work of your hands, I sing joy. O great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever." Hallelujah. Sean, you want to come up? How many of you are willing to take a stand to win the battle that we have before? Anybody? If you're willing, I want you to repeat after me, please. Father God, glory to your name. Forgive me for being complacent. For in these times we stand up against the sources of evil. We are prepared for the spiritual warfare that is upon us. Lord, let us become one, even as you and the Father are one. Let the Lord see our light. Let us be passionate once again. For you are an almighty God, creator of all things. The devil is defeated, and we will walk victorious all the days of our life. Glory. 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 Amen. Sean is going to share. If any of you need prayer after this, please come forward. We'll be glad to pray for you. But when the song ends, you're free to go. Or if you want to go right now, you can go right now. But it's been an honor to sit here before you. I hope that the Lord touched you today. Amen. Hallelujah.
Silences the enemy. Let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise rise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let faith be the song that overcomes. Agency. Let faith be the song that claims the storm inside of me. let it ride. Oh, let freedom ride. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 yeah, Lord, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, yeah. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, yes, Lord, we praise you. Oh, oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. You're worthy of our praise. We praise you. You are worthy of all glory, and we praise you. We walk in your presence, Lord, and we praise you.